Happy Sabbath, Stokey family. We praise the Lord for this privilege that we have seen another Sabbath. To our visitors with us and those viewing from any other part of the world, we welcome you. Please feel at home. To our regular members, we thank you for your presence this morning. Let us all worship our God together in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Our sovereign God and Father in heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, you created the heaven and the earth and everything in it in 6 days. And on the seventh day, you blessed this day. You sanctified it and made it holy. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to praise you for this wonderful day. We know that without you, we are nothing. So we just want to thank you that you have led us through the 6 days of toil and you have given us another Sabbath, wonderful Sabbath day, oh Lord. Oh, Lord of hosts, we thank you, we magnify your name. Lord, we want to pray for our leaders, our worldly leaders. Since the pandemic started, I have not had one leader in this country say, let us have a week or a day of prayer. But the thing they don't know is that without bringing everything to you and asking for your wisdom and your knowledge, they will never get the hack of this pandemic. Lord, we thank you that we are on our knees day in, day out, praying for your mercy. Father, we thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. And you promise us that with you, all will be well. Let us all search ourselves during this pandemic and know where we stand with you, because we know we are standing at the end time and we need to be right. We need to put our houses in order like you told Hezekiah. Oh, Lord of mercy, have mercy on us. Forgive us for our sins. We know that we have wronged you, Lord, but forgive us for our sins because we have nobody else to go to but you. Now, as we gather here this morning together, we ask for your presence that all may go well according to your will. We thank you, we praise you. I thank you for hearing and I thank you for always answering. May everything that will go on go according to your will. This is my prayer with thanksgiving, trusting, and believing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Morning. Happy Sabbath. Morning.
Sabbath, everyone. Morning. Sabbath. Okay, so the scripture reading today is from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10, and I'm reading from the NIV. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. That's the end of the reading. Thank you.
Sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone, a long that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. But until then, with joy I'll carry on until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home, the thing. Grow dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while, and things of earth that cause my heart to tremble.
Amen, church. Can you wave so I know you're saying amen? Can you hear me? Amen, amen. Thank you. Right, good morning, Stokey. And good morning to our Stokey family in the UK, in the USA, in Canada, Jamaica, all over the world, wherever you are. I send you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus. And special greetings to my friend, Stacey. We've been friends since we were 8 years old, and she's joining us from Jamaica. And I want to thank all my other friends and family. I can see we've got Tayo here, and we've got all my friends are coming on. Thank you so much. And I just want to thank all my family and Stokey family and members for joining in today. And I'm seeing you're switching your cameras on. Please, it's so difficult to speak to a computer, much less to blank screens. So please switch on your cameras, arise and shine. Whether you've got your pajamas on, I don't mind. Just let me see your face. And I just want to thank our host. Thank you, Nicole, for leading out today. Sister Sanjo, for your Sabbath school. And the communications department, Donna and her team, thank you for leading out. Sister Elizabeth, thank you for your wonderful welcome and for your prayer. And my husband, Raymond, thank you for the scripture reading. And Uncle Patrick, thank you so much for that beautiful song. So I just want to thank God for each and every one of you here today. And I thank God that he woke me up to see another new morning. It was very cold last night, but the sun is shining and we give God thanks for life. And I also praise God for your lives too. The fact that you are here and you can hear my voice is a testimony that God is not through with you yet. And it's also a blessing because we have another chance to choose what's right, to choose Jesus and to reject the devil. another chance to repent and turn from our evil ways, because in the grave there is no repentance. God has mercifully given us another chance to believe in him and accept his free gift of eternal life. It cost him heavily, his very life, but he did it for me and he did it for you. Even if you were the only person on earth that messed up, Jesus would have come just for you and you alone. So take that and embrace that. He is your personal, personal savior from sin. Oh, what love God has for us. Please let us take the time out to get to know God, our savior. He is our lawyer and our judge when we disobey the rules. He's our doctor when we're sick. He's our banker when we have no money and when we run into debt because of poor decisions or because of our unfortunate circumstances. He is our teacher when we lack wisdom. And he's our savior, and he's the only one who can rescue us from ourselves. I wish I had more time to talk to you on this platform, but I don't want you to fall asleep. So please turn your cameras on so I can make sure you're still awake. Okay. I'm just excited to be here today to address you all. And it's so much better when I can see your faces and your expressions and your waving. It's much different from when you're at church and you can hear the amens. I'm just hearing my own voice and just seeing your faces. Thank you for the wave, Sister Elizabeth. Okay, let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. I know you know what each of us is facing. We are tired, we're stressed, some of us are even depressed. Some of us are missing our loved ones. Some of us are lonely, scared, and fed up with the way that our lives are going at the moment. Some of us are happy. May we be joyful. May we have the fruit that only you can develop in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Despite what's happening in the world all around us, because you know, because we know your promises, because we trust in you, may we claim the peace and joy that only you can give us in spite of our circumstances. There is so much happening in the world today. You know what is happening, and you even knew it before we were even born. You knew us and you knew the end before time even began. And most importantly, you love and you care for us. 365 times, once for every day of the year, you tell us, do not worry. May we replace our worries with your promises. Thank you for your love, mercy, and wisdom. And I pray that you will give us grace to trust you more and help us to be encouraged and blessed by today's message. And may we share the good news of your love and gift of eternal life with our families and friends before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I am so happy to be given the opportunity to speak to you today, to give you all an encouraging word. So please send your friends and family the Zoom link so they can join in and be encouraged as well, because we can never have too much encouragement. The title of today's message is The Good Old Days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now there's a song by Jimmy Cliff called Those Good, Good Old Days. Does anybody know it? No. Well, I'll just give you a little excerpt. In it, he says, I can still remember when we were much younger. Skies were blue and fields were green. Oh, the air so clean. In those good, good old days that used to be. Then he goes on to say, where did all the green fields go? Flowers just won't grow. Animals are dying out, wasting oil upon the sea. Poisoned gases everywhere stifling the air, and many children lose their way by leaders of confusion and leave them with the price to pay. Try to remember those good, good old days. Now I remember many good old days. The days seemed to be so much longer back in those good old days. Being much younger than I am today, I virtually had nothing to worry about. I could just play and eat, go to church, go to school, learn my memory verse, and if I got it right, maybe get McDonald's as a treat. Life was good. You remember that, Caroline? In summer, we used to play in the park, We used to go out on church outings. We used to share our lunch, play rounders, play cricket, and have many socials in our prefab with its never-fading distinctive aroma. Do you remember the smell of the prefab?
Yes.
We used to have pathfinders, camp and choir practice, crusades and campaigns. We used to eat watermelon in the car park after AY. Those were the good, good old days. For some of us, the good old days involved us going to Miss Gwen's corner shop to buy a bread and a bottle of soda, going to bush or spending all day at the beach or washing clothes and swimming in the river. Some other things may come to mind to some of us, like training for sports day in Finsbury Park. Oh, life was so good in those good old days. Compared to now, life was easy. Another song comes to mind, Bring Back the Days of Yayene by the Winans, which goes like this. I remember when life was so easy. People said what they meant. They were either for it or against, but it ain't like that anymore. I remember when life was so simple. Parents were a light. Through them, we saw what was right, but it ain't like that anymore. I remember when life was so easy. Boys grew into men. Little girls into women, but it ain't like that anymore. It definitely isn't. The Bible says in Genesis 5 verse 2 that God made two genders, male and female. Now I Googled types of gender a few days ago and I got confused, very confused. I read that there are seven genders. Then on another website, I read that there are many different gender identities, including male, female, transgender, gender neutral, non-binary, agender, pangender, gender queer, two-spirit, third gender, all, none, or a combination of these. Lord have mercy on us. What kind of times are we living in? I remember when life was so simple, but people just want to make our lives complicated. God never intended it to be that way. But when you want to do your own thing, you disregard God and his perfect guidelines. And then anything goes. And just like in Judges 21 verse 25, it says, people did whatever they felt like doing. But God's unfailing word is the gold standard. It should be our standard too. If you take away the rules, you can do whatever you want, but there are consequences. We learn in science class that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And Galatians 6 verse 7 to 8 tells us, you reap what you sow. I remember the other day, the sun was shining so magnificently in the blue sky. Everything just seemed so perfect. And I thought to myself, this world is so beautiful. It would be such a wonderful place if we weren't greedy, if we didn't get jealous of each other, if we weren't fighting to be first all the time, if we shared what we had with others. Everyone would be so happy. There would be no crime. Our churches would be full to the brim, just like the good old days of Acts 2, the early church. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 47 says, and all the believers lived in wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's needs were met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw, and every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. We need to live like this. Why have our churches stopped growing? Is it because we've become selfish? Every man for himself? No one in this world should ever go to bed hungry. There is too much land, too much money in circulation and too much food in production for anyone to ever be hungry, much less die of starvation. Can you imagine how God's heart must break when he sees a little child going to bed hungry, while others are living in multi-million dollar houses and while we waste our food? Can you imagine how God feels when we fight down each other and gossip about each other? The devil's work is already done. He plants seeds of discord, and we are the ones to let it grow. May God have mercy on us. We need to change the way that we think so that we can change the way that we act. It will take more than willpower. We cannot do it by ourselves. We need God to help us. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12 verse 2 says, from the New International Version, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." I like the way the Message version puts it. "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants for you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." Further down in the chapter of Romans 12, we learn that God has blessed us with different gifts. We all have different functions to bring about God's work. So there's no point in being jealous and saying that we are more important than someone else. We all have our God-given roles. No one can be better at being you than you. So if you want to make comparisons, compare yourself with yourself and see how you can improve by God's grace. Our scripture reading for today was taken from Ecclesiastes 7 verse 10 from the New International Version. And it says, "Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not a wise question to ask. Forget about the old days. They are long gone, and sad to say, they are not coming back. Things will only get worse. Yes, cases of coronavirus are on the decrease, but when it's all gone, something else will emerge. The problems will keep coming. Jesus himself said in John 16, verse 33, that in this world you will have trouble. Yes, in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This world is full of death and decay. Every day that you live means one less day remaining in your lifespan on this earth. But this is great news for God's people, because at the end of each day, you can tell yourself that you are one step closer to heaven. As I get older each day, and I lose the tone and plumpness of my cheeks, and as gravity sets in and the nasolabial folds get deeper and these forehead glabular lines stop moving when I smile, then I just smile and I remind myself, thank God that this body is just a shell. Thank God this is a shell. As children of God, we have every reason to rejoice, because God has promised in Revelation 21 verse 5 to make everything, including me, including you, new and gloriously perfect. The word says, "I am making everything new. My words are trustworthy and true." The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8 verse 18 that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory to come. There is no comparison between our present hard times and the coming good times. Forget about the good old days. Better new days are coming. Imagine Just take for a moment, just think about the worst thing that has ever happened to you in your life. Think about the worst thing that has ever happened to you. Now shift your focus to a time in heaven where when you think about this terrible experience, that it only makes you smile. As Sir Patrick Bernard sang for us earlier in our song of meditation, until then, the song says, "And things of earth that caused the heart to tremble, remembered there, will only bring a smile." So until then, church, carry on with joy. Until the day that you behold beautiful heaven, until the day that God calls us all home, be encouraged. Be encouraged, church, because any heartache that you face, anything that you're experiencing now that gets you down, will not last forever. It is just a stepping stone, taking you closer and closer to heaven and Jesus, your Savior. This body is just your shell. This troubled world is not your final home. You are just passing through. It's like a connection flight, connecting flight. There is always a blessing in trials that we face, because it causes us to shift our focus from the things in this world that we can see to the things of the world to come that we cannot see. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." Well, I can't wait to see it. Use your problems as your motivators to get you ready to pack up your bags and leave this planet bound for a better place in heaven. My grandma, Sister P, Grandma Phyllis, she always used to preach and say that we must be rooted and grounded in Jesus, not rooted and grounded in this sinful, self-destructing world. Don't get too attached to life in this world. Yes, we live here, but we must not set our roots down in it. Be like, as I like to put it, be like walking trees. We must grow and produce fruits to draw others to God, but don't set down any roots in this world. Don't get too attached. Sorry to say, I'm going to tell you about more doom and gloom on this Zoom, but just to get you to move your eyes from this world to joy and perfection that is coming soon and very soon. Now, 2 Timothy 3 says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control." Are we seeing some of these happening today? Give me a wave. Yes, we are. "Without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash." Raymond was telling me there was this feud between two neighbors in America. It was snowing, and one couple, they were shoveling the snow from their driveway and they were putting it on their neighbor's side, and that neighbor got angry. He got his gun, because they're allowed to have guns in America. He shot the neighbors, and then he shot himself. So we're living in a rash world. People will be conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are swayed by all kinds of they are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's serious. The text goes on to say, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Let that sink in. "While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for us, we must continue in what we have learned and have known in the Holy Scriptures. We are able to make you wise, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, we must build up ourselves in the Word of God. We must put on our armor, because there is a battle that's going on. It's actually raging, and it's going on between good and evil. And we are caught in the middle. Will you choose the side of God and good, or will you choose the side of the devil and evil? The choice is up to you. So gear up yourself and fight for the right and do right, so that like the apostle in 2 Timothy 4, you can say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. Church, family, members, friends, wherever you are, don't let anyone or anything cause you to lose your crown. If we've read the Bible, attending church long enough, or listened to enough sermons, we should all know by now that overall things in our world will not get better. Yes, they have a vaccine for coronavirus, but as I said, something else will come up. The Bible said, this is just the beginning of sorrows. The beginning. Yes, unfortunately, the worst is yet to come down here on earth. When Lucifer was expelled from heaven, the Bible says in Revelation 12, verse 12, rejoice ye heavens, but woe to us here on earth. Why? Because the devil, that fallen angel, is well angry, because his time is running out. He is vexed and he is taking it all out on us, the children of God. So may the Lord have mercy on us. He couldn't get Jesus, so now he's after us. And misery, as they say, loves company. So the devil wants to take as many of us down to hell with him as possible, because he has made his final choice and he decided to do evil rather than humble himself before God. The devil knows how wonderful heaven is, but because he cannot go there anymore, he doesn't want anyone else to go there. He has nothing else to lose. He has lost absolutely everything. He has nothing to live for, so he wants to make our lives a living hell, a life of utmost misery. Have you ever seen a lion in real life before, at the zoo, or on a safari, or even on the TV? Yes. And have you seen how vicious a lion looks when it opens its mouth and roars? Yes. Well, according to 1 Peter 5, verse 18 to 11, it says, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. The devil will use every trick in his dirty book of deception to make us go off track, but don't lose your focus. Stay alert. You may lose your job, your best friend, your loved ones, your home, your finances. Look at Job in the Bible. He practically lost everything because the devil wanted him to lose focus. But we must keep our guard. You are not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans, they are, they will have you put together and on your feet for good. God is still and will always be in control. He alone gets the last word. Yes, he does. So no matter what the devil throws at you today, give God the glory. Praise him. Sing songs that will uplift your hearts and honor the Lord, because he is loving and powerful and he is wise. Shout hallelujah. Confuse the devil as you sing your praises to God despite your circumstances. Trust God, love God, praise God, obey God. Don't let your problems get you down. Don't talk about how big your problems are. Talk about how big your God is, and the devil will leave you alone. Don't count your many problems. Count your many blessings. And remember, there are more who are for you than those who are against you. So be encouraged, church. Don't lose your focus. Focus on glory. God is saying to us today in Isaiah 41, verse 10, don't panic. I am with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I will hold you steady and keep a firm grip on you. All this talk of the bad times is not aimed at frightening you. I'm just simply trying to get you to shift your focus from things of this earth to things in the life to come in heaven. In heaven, Lucifer was the head of music, but he got too big for his boots. He actually wanted to take God's place as being God. And so he stirred up strife and got banned from heaven. But he was so cunning and deceptive and disruptive that he managed to persuade a whole third of the angels in heaven to join his team. Can you imagine that? One third of the angels in heaven have joined the devil's ranks. But that means that there are two thirds of the angels who remained faithful to God. So if I'm any good at mathematics, that means that for every evil angel, there are two good angels. So rejoice, there are more for us than those who are against us. And just remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? The theme for January was read the word. And for the month of February, it is listen to the word. Listen to God's word, read his word, and encourage your hearts. What's happening now is not important. It's how it all ends that really matters. God has told us what would happen in the end from the very beginning. We have all the answers before the test. And God has given us confirmation that he will reign supreme and good will conquer evil in the very end. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Stop feeding on Facebook, Instagram, and the depressing media in the news. It's so negative. Feed on the good news. If you focus on negativity, chances are you will become negative. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, whatever is true, noble, right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So now, when it comes to heaven, do you think that it's just a fairy tale? We talk about heaven, but do we really believe that it exists? Do you believe there's a place prepared for you in heaven? If you don't believe it, then you're not going anywhere. Because Jesus promised in John 14, verse 3, that he has gone to prepare a place for us in his Father's kingdom and that he's coming back for us. Do you believe this? Give me a wave. Do you believe it? I hope you do.
Amen. Well,
amen. Thank you, Dawn. Well, if you want to go to this better place, you better believe it. John 3 verse 16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have to believe, church. Do we live like we're going to heaven and enjoy eternal life with God himself in paradise? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven is going to be an indescribable place. You have to be there to believe it. And Jesus himself said in John chapter 14 that he was going to prepare a place for us and that he's coming back to take us there. But are we ready to go? Mary has a song called Heaven, and they say, I've got to get myself together because I've got somewhere to go. Are you ready to go? If we were, Jesus would have come back a long time ago, but we're not ready. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 in the Message says, God isn't late with his promises as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone to be lost. He's given everyone time and space to change, to repent. Now we are all at a fork in the road called life. There are two roads. One leads to the left, one to the right. And the path you choose today is going to determine where you will end up, your final destination. When Jesus was on the cross, taking our place and taking the punishment for our sins, there were two thieves being executed beside him. One hung on the left, one hung on the right. While Jesus was dying on the cross, while the insults were being thrown at him, while he was being ridiculed by the crowd, one thief joined in with the taunting and said to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, why don't you save yourself? And while you're at it, save us too. The other thief believed in Jesus, that he was the Son of God, and asked Jesus to remember him when he went into his kingdom in heaven. Jesus promised this repentant, dying thief that he would join him in paradise. So which road will you take? The road of scoffers, ridiculers, and unbelief, or the road of humility, repentance, and belief in Jesus and his great gift to us? We are living in a time where people's love for each other is waxing cold. For all of you people getting ready for Valentine's Day tomorrow, the roses, the chocolates, and the lighting of fragrant candles, just remember this. When you light a candle, the flame travels down the wick. It heats up the wax and it melts, releasing a luxurious aroma. And that lit candle is lighting up the room and uplifting your mood. But when the flame goes out, when the heat is lost and the candle that was soft and runny gets tough and cold, just remember, that's how people's love is growing in these days, cold. Those people who used to love others will no longer look out for each other. They will only love themselves. I am painting a bleak picture here because I want you to start setting your hearts on better things, eternal things. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21 in the Message says, don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it is safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and will end up being. To be honest, some of us don't want Jesus to return yet because we haven't lived our lives yet. I remember one Sabbath the preacher said, what would you do if you knew Jesus were coming tonight? And one of the young people in the back said something that I won't repeat. But for some of us, we don't want Jesus to return yet because we want to get the perfect job. We want to get married. We want to get that car, have a family. And there's nothing wrong with these. But we need to seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Put God first in all that you do. And when the time is right, God will give you what is right for you. So just trust him. Your job is to trust and obey and to be ready for his return at all times. For some of us, we don't want Jesus to return yet because we are not ready to do what is right. We don't want to end the relationship with that man or woman that we're not married to. And we know we shouldn't be messing around with, but we just want to enjoy the little sighting a little bit longer. But that little bit longer may be more than you bargained for, and you may get trapped and miss out on eternity. Don't play games with God. He is being patient with us. Do not take his mercy for granted. Jesus died to take us out of our misery. The good old days are forever gone. We can't stay here on this earth as it is today. We are citizens of heaven. This world is not our home. We're just the passing through. So stay close to Jesus. Get to know him more and more each day. Jesus told us that we will have problems. Let these adversities drive you into his presence each day. Read his word. Listen to him speaking to you in the quiet times. Trust him. He has a perfect track record. There is no reason to ever, ever doubt God. To know God is to love God, and to love God is to believe him. And in believing him, we have everlasting life. Better days are on the horizon. Heaven is your home. Jesus is waiting to take you there. And he knows everything about you, and he still loves you. Do you know him? My church and family friends, Jesus is the only way to heaven. If you haven't already accepted him to guide your life, please, please choose him today before it's eternally too late. There is far too much at stake. Make Jesus your savior, and heaven will be your paradise home. God bless and keep you until then. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Powerful words. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We go dark valley when Jesus comes. We go dark valley.
I just want to say thank you to Zarina and Salucci for joining us for the first time on this platform. Welcome, and I pray that you'll come again and God will bless you continually. And I hope you've been uplifted by this message. Thank you, everyone who has come here. Thank you for your wave. Thank you for putting your cameras on. And I pray that this message will truly touch you and that the recording will be available. So if there's any families or friends that you would like to share this message with, please get in touch with me or with our communications department or Donna and share the word, the good news. All we hear at the moment is bad news, but there is good news coming and we want to be a part of that. Now, please bow your heads as we have our benediction song, prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the message that better days are coming. Help us to be ready and waiting for you to take us home. Despite what is going on in our lives, in the world at large, please continually remind us to trust you and to be ready when you come. Thank you for your encouraging words of truth. And may we more and more, as this world decays and things lose their value, may we look forward to spending eternity with you. Thank you for your gift of eternal life. We believe in you and we accept this gift with both hands. Save us all present on this platform, as well as our families and friends that we represent. Help us to boldly share this message of your love and provision with our loved ones, wherever they are. In Jesus' almighty name, we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.